This is Forum. I'm Mina Kim, and we're going to finish the hour with the San Francisco Chronicle's restaurant critic Soleil Ho, who is out with her top 100 restaurants list. It's her first since moving to the Bay Area in December, and she says her list is a major departure from what came before. My methodology is different, she writes. The way I engage with and massage the meaning of top is different. Soleil Ho, thanks for coming on Forum.
Thanks for having me.
So how do you define a top restaurant?
Oh, man. Really, it is a restaurant that not only serves great food, right, but is a leader in the industry in so many ways. You know, and so for me and the team at The Chronicle, Top 100 was meant to reflect all the things that we value in our communities, in our restaurants, because restaurants tell us so much about where we live and the time that we live in. And so for us, the top restaurants would reflect that really well.
So what do you value? I understand that you removed restaurants where the owners or leaders had sexual harassment allegations against them.
Right. So I don't know. I feel like for us, it was labor. It's something that has gotten a lot more emphasis now, too. Especially, you know, we just passed Bourdain Day, right, which was a commemoration of Anthony Bourdain's life, who, you know, he struggled with mental illness for most of his life. And we know for a fact that mental illness is a huge, and mental health is a huge, like, factor in the lack of retention in the food industry and just, like, people's welfare as employees. And so we wanted to think about restaurants that had really good policies in place for their employees, benefits, really good, you know, wages above and beyond, you know, just the minimum. And so we took all of that in. And like mental health also has a lot to do with like culture at restaurants and like whether or not you'll be harassed when you go in for work, stuff like that.
So how many restaurants did you go to? Because I understand you don't have a car. You relied quite a bit on public transportation to get you to the places you needed to go.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, Caltrain's great. So I made a lot of trips down into the peninsula, down to like Palo Alto, and I made a few trips down to San Jose too, just to like get a sense, but it wasn't enough. And so, yeah, I relied a lot on friends and on rideshare and also on the public transportation system.
So 1,000 restaurants, hundreds of restaurants?
Gosh. So if I went to a restaurant every day since I started earlier this year, I think that would have been not even 1,000. God. Probably 200, 300. Yeah.
And how did your values, how were they reflected in the restaurants you chose to go to and in what communities?
Yeah. So I really wanted to go to the East Bay a lot. I think that there's so much that is interesting happening in the East Bay. And I also think that only going to restaurants that are gentrifying or actively gentrifying would have been a disservice. And so we wanted to think harder about the classics of the East Bay as well, in the same way that we think about classics of San Francisco, you know, places like the House of Prime Rib, you know, Miss Ollie's is also a classic.
So what restaurants from the East Bay made your top 100 list?
Oh, my gosh. So we have a whole map on the top 100 of all the East Bay restaurants and with a spotlight in Oakland, of course. And so places...
Which ones do you want to highlight?
places like Nyum Bai, one of my big favorites, Reams, California, which is just, you know, down the block from Nyum Bai in Fruitvale. There's Wojia Hunan Cuisine, which is up in Albany. Big fan. And Jain Jain, which is a Burmese restaurant in Fremont, which I am, I'm actually going to Fremont later today, which I'm very excited about for more exploration and more eating. So
we're talking with Soleil Ho, the San Francisco Chronicle's restaurant critic, about her top 100 restaurants list that dropped just yesterday, right?
Yes.
So what are your questions for Soleil Ho about who made the list, her methodology? What are your favorite restaurants? Give us a call at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Tweet us, find us on Facebook, email us, forum@kqed.org. So Soleil Ho, I thought it was interesting that you made the top, like, Michelin star restaurants compete against each other, as opposed to, you know, just kind of a given that all the top Michelin starred restaurants would be on your list.
Right. Well, I don't necessarily agree with the Michelin inspectors. I also don't know who they are, you know, and so I think that's a big difference between the way we do it and the way they do it, is that, you know, the names of everyone who has gone to the restaurants and like had a discussion about them and like sorted them out with the Chronicle. And yeah, I think that having those restaurants be a given would be lazy on my part.
So then tell me who you removed from the list previously that were Michelin star restaurants. Give us
a
couple.
Oh my gosh.
Names.
I'm trying to remember from the previous list, the 2018, which I did reference a lot for some things. I have a copy at my desk. Let's see here. Manresa, Quince, and there were some other ones too that weren't three stars. But
Gary Danko.
Right, yeah.
Chez Panisse?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, they don't.
They don't have a star.
Yeah, they don't. And so I'm not going to comment on individual restaurants and reasons. I don't think that would be fair.
Really?
You know, I don't want to pick on anyone in particular. But I just wanted to compare all of the restaurants of a certain caliber against each other rather than comparing them against all of the restaurants of the Bay Area, because it just wouldn't make sense. I wanted there to be a sense of competitiveness to it.
Well, let's hear from our listeners. Andrew in Berkeley, join us.
Hi. Yeah, I was wondering about if you kind of touched on this right now, so I'm going to kind of steer a little bit away from it. But I was looking at different restaurants like Corso out of Berkeley versus, say, like more of a sit down pop-up shop out of Oakland like Abu Raya, and any type of comparisons between, you know, something that's more traditional versus something that's a little bit more edgy.
Thanks, Andrew.
So the question was
just in terms of recommendations for,
I see,
from more traditional versus more edgy. Was that your question, Andrew, basically? Oh, I think Andrew was taking the call off the air. Though I also think it's notable that pop-ups made your cut of the top 100 restaurants.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, I couldn't suss out the question in that call. But yeah, I wanted to expand beyond just brick and mortar restaurants just because pop-ups are such an interesting and vibrant way for chefs and restaurant people to really get into the game without a huge investment. And so to really open up the pool of people who would be eligible for participation in the top 100, if we cut out pop-ups, I think it would be ignoring a really, like I said, vibrant part of Bay Area food culture.
Well, let's hear next from Tom in San Lorenzo. Hi, Tom.
Hi, I just wanted to appreciate some of your studying the East Bay. There's a lot of excellent Southeast Asian noodle restaurants that, you know, aren't as fancy as a slanted door and might be considered hole in the wall, but that, you know, offer great food. Beyond Nyon Bai, for example, there's Noodles for Me in San Leandro that sounds Vietnamese but is more Laotian. And, you know, just a lot of other places. So I encourage people to, you know, experiment.
Tom, thanks. And that really is what you're also doing, right, Solejo?
Yeah. I mean, top 100 to me isn't definitive because there are, you know, so many restaurants. There are more than 4,000 alone in San Francisco. And so it's a really good starting point, I think, to at least get people out into places where they normally maybe wouldn't go to eat and then just see what's around.
What restaurants a region has, the type of food that's there, says a lot, I think, about it. And you are new to the Bay Area, and I was wondering, as you moved around trying food, visiting restaurants, what did it tell you about this region?
Gosh, so for me, what was really revealing was going to Union City and just checking out, like, Afghani restaurants and figuring out just through food, like, what the border cuisine of, like, Afghanistan and, like, Pakistan would be. Like, that sort of stuff to me was so interesting. And that there was such a vibrant immigrant community there. You know, just finding out, like, who's making food for them, by them. You know what I mean? That's been really cool. And so, like, digging into, like, where is the diversity in the Bay Area? Because it's not necessarily in San Francisco.
And you mentioned we in terms of coming up with this list. So talk about how you incorporated the opinions, the thoughts, the ideas and expertise of other people on the Chronicle staff.
Sure. So I think historically that's kind of, it's always been a little bit of a collaboration. Like Michael would lean on John Bonnet, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Right. For wine expertise, because it's impossible to know all the wine, but the wine expert will tell you, which is great. And so I just took that a little bit further and I relied on Esther Mobley, the wine critic, for telling me about what to look for in like really, really great like Bay Area wine lists. And of course the other people in the food team helped me out too. And just like we went to these places together, sometimes separately, but like always talked and commiserated and like compared experiences so that we could come up with a, you know, a really well-rounded list.
And you can see this list on our website, Solejo's top 100 list from the San Francisco Chronicle. Let's go next to Dee in Stinson Beach. Hi, Dee.
Hi, my question's about gentrification and how a list of this platform brings in people into neighborhoods and cuisines that they didn't otherwise know about, and how that aids gentrification, which is a huge issue in the Bay Area.
Hmm. Dee, thanks.
So, yeah, a list of this kind, like listicles in general, are always going to do that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we could have a whole other conversation about the validity of lists and like, why do we do it? but I would say that the people who read this list are diverse. They're also really smart. They have a really, I think, for the most part, I don't want to like read too much into people, but with really good intentions. And for me, the other part of it is that investors will read this list and they will look at the kinds of people who get on the list, the kinds of concepts that get on the list, and they will think hopefully more broadly about who they would invest in as chefs, as restaurateurs. And that's also one of the goals.
Well, Dee, thanks for the question. I'll go next to Sam in San Jose. Hi, Sam.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. So first of all, thank you so much to this author for including the other Bay Area communities. You know, when we see lists of restaurants, we barely see only, you know, restaurants who serve meat and non-ethnic. So I have two-part question. One on the ethnicity. Thank you. I got your answer while I was waiting on the call. But on that front, when you say Afghani restaurants, how did you judge an Afghani restaurant? I mean, did you talk to Afghani people? And the second quick question is, how many on your list are vegan or vegetarian restaurants? And I'll take my answer off there.
Sam, bye. Thank you.
Yeah, so what I do usually, and I have a piece about this when I wrote about Jain Jain, the Burmese restaurant in Fremont, where if I don't know about a cuisine, I'm pretty honest about it. I'm not going to pretend I know everything, but I do talk to people who understand it in and out, just to consult with them to understand like what's the baseline, what's normal, what are the flavors that I can expect, and you know what is, you know, your favorite thing about it. And so I do consult with people about cuisines that I don't know. And the second part of the question about vegetarian vegan restaurants, I do have online on the list. I've tagged all of the vegetarian-friendly restaurants, and so there should be a good handful, which I highlighted. So just take a look, and you'll see.
Well, let's do a little bit of a lightning round in terms of what's on your list. If you can name a few, not saying that these have to be your favorite, but what comes to mind when you think about great meals for under $20? Where should people go for that?
There's that Balampi place, the pupusa place. I love that one.
Really good Mexican food?
Oh man, Farolito.
Farolito, the best of. Oh, I won't say the best. Sorry, a Michelin star restaurant that you think still creates that extra special experience that you think Michelin star restaurants should for the price point.
Greatest of all time, of that price point would be the restaurant at Meadowood.
Hmm. So up in sort of my neck of the woods, actually, Solejo. Speaking of which, you did have this interesting in your FAQ, almost like an apology to the Santa Clara region. Talk about why.
Yeah. So I know I've already gotten some feedback from folks in the Peninsula and South Bay about this, which, you know, thank you. There isn't a ton of representation of restaurants down there. And I have gone down there a few times and tried restaurants down there. And I won't comment on, like, you know, who didn't make the cut or what. But I hope to spend a lot more time in the coming year down in that region just to, like, do justice to it.
Well, all right. We'll be watching for that. And that's a promise that she's put out. Let's go next to Jacob in San Francisco. Hi, Jacob.
Hello, I am calling from San Francisco, and I was wondering if there was any focus on sustainable ingredients in the list. You know, a lot of Californians appreciate local food and sustainable operations, but it is hard to read through the facade of everyone saying something sustainable. So if you have any recommendations on who's really doing that well, and I'd like to throw out Fish Restaurant in Sausalito for really focusing on a sustainable seafood menu, which is a interesting industry.
Jacob, thanks.
Yeah, Fish is on the list, and we gave it a nod also because of that. It's really hard to find sustainable seafood, especially, you know, if you love sushi, that's also really hard when you think about bluefin tuna being so prevalent on menus. What I would say for me, I've talked to so many chefs and also read up on so many restaurants that source their ingredients from farms, from farmers they know, and also forage on their own. So for me, Cafe Aloni is my favorite super sustainable kind of restaurant. It is a pop-up, but they do a lot of the foraging themselves. You know, they work with indigenous people, you know, because they are indigenous as well. So they're community members to source the ingredients and make sure that they're harvested in a sustainable way. And I really love that pop-up.
One of the things that you say is that a restaurant, a meal, an experience needs to be surprising. I feel like that's a big part of your criteria. What does surprising mean to you?
Sure. So for me, especially in the $200 plus range, you know, per person, I wanted surprise to be part of it. Because when you charge that amount of money, right, you're making an argument that this food is not just sustenance, it's art. And to me, great art surprises you. And maybe, you know, maybe people disagree, and that's fine. But I want to be confused. Not horribly confused, but I want to at least come away with a sense of like, what happened? You know, I want to be dazed a little bit.
Kind of like a new frontier. You had a new experience, something that you can't quite place.
Yes.
Interesting. Let me see if I can get Patrick in here quickly. Patrick from San Jose, what would you like to say?
Hey, Soleil. Just wanted to kind of chime in about the brief time you've been here and how you were able to get so many restaurants under consideration to come up with as big a list of 100. You know, it seems like you were only 200 dinners max since December. So how were you able to lean on other people for that?
Oh, man. So I definitely did not restrict my meals to dinner. There were some days where I had 5 meals. I do have a membership to the YMCA, props to them. But I would say that other folks on the team gave me a lot of suggestions, and so they helped guide where I was going. That was very helpful.
So I know this is a really big question, but based on your immediate experience, do you have a sense of what direction you'd say San Francisco Bay Area restaurants, the restaurant scene, is going?
Polarization.
Ooh, polarization. Say what that means really fast.
There is a huge gulf in the middle.
All right. Well, intriguing. Soleil Ho, restaurant critic for the San Francisco Chronicle. Check out her top 100 restaurants list. And thanks for chiming in with your thoughts, questions, and opinions. I'm Mina Kim. Another Hour Forum is next. Stay with us.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by Jan Schramm and Maria Minetti Schramm, founders of the Minetti Schramm Museum of Art at UC Davis, which preserves the legacy of renowned artists such as Wayne Thiebaud for future innovators by dedicating a third of its space to arts education.